You are listening to Breaking Away, a candid podcast by Chris, developed for the sex-positive community, exploring adult-themed societal norms and how some are breaking away from them. Please know this podcast will contain adult themes and adult language. If you're okay with this, stay tuned for this week's episode. Why, hello, and welcome to Breaking Away with Chris. In episode 6, I talked about what my new visions are for this podcast and what I want to explore. Specifically, I want to start talking about sex negativity because I feel that those are conversations we're not having as frequently. At least I'm not. I have come from a position of being positive about sex and saying I'm this sex positive person, and I've created challenges and got people talking about sex, and that's all well and good, and I think that's important. But what I realized, as I mentioned in my last episode, was that that's not enough. We're not going to achieve universal sex positivity if we don't first include the tough conversations, if we don't include the people who feel uncomfortable around sex, who have shame, who have stigma, who feel taboos, etc., etc. You know, we've got to find a way to open the lines of communication and make a safe space so anybody can ask questions. You know, I remember in junior high, that very, very first sex positive role model I had in my grade 7 health class saying, you know what, there are no dumb questions. But with that being said, he made it very clear that before he read the questions in our sex ed secret question box, he was going to filter them first, because the first day, which is a complete side note story, the first day he read directly from the box, he blushed, I think, on every single question. So while there's no dumb questions and there's no bad questions and I want to make a safe space, I also don't want to be in a position where anybody feels that they have egg on their face or they're uncomfortable talking or broaching subjects that, you know, they're just not aware enough about or educated enough or even comfortable talking. And that all goes hand in hand with consent and blah, blah, blah. And we'll totally talk about that in future. I'm sure consent will come out numerous times. But, you know, for the purposes of right now, If you hear gulps every so often, yes, I am drinking a delicious beer, because that's what I do. If you follow me on Instagram, beer lover boob owner, I think, or I don't know what my Instagram is. I just post photos of my beer delicious drinking with my cleavage. So clearly I've mastered the social media thing. I don't even know my own hashtags or my own locations, but I'm sure you can find it if you're interested in love, boobs, and beer. And as always, I post photos on Patreon. But let's get back to the point. So I truly feel that we've got to deal with sex negativity first before we can broach into sex positivity. And some of those things are sex itself, becoming comfortable with our bodies, talking about safety, consent again, just absolutely everything when it comes to sex. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my background when it comes to sex negativity. So when I grew up, I grew up in a single parent household for the majority, and my mother was a sexual free spirit. She felt that no subject was taboo, and she basically raised me as a sister instead of a mother-daughter. When my friends would come over, and we're talking like between the ages of like 10 and 16, she would never be wearing a bra. Sometimes she would be naked. One of my best friend's horror stories is when she came over for the first time, my mom was in the bathtub, and yells over to her, "Hey, I want to meet you finally face to face." And my best friend got an eyeful, didn't know where to look. I think we were, oh man, we would have been maybe 12 or 13 at the time. And she's not the only female friend I have that has those absolute horror stories. So, you know, I think there was the opportunity that I would have become a very sexual free spirit from an early age, because that's what I was raised with. But what ended up happening, I turned into a sexual prude. I made a decision right then and there that I wasn't going to lose my virginity early. I never wanted to be called easy. I mean, I masturbated from a very young age, so I understood sexual pleasure, but intimacy I was very terrified of. And I have no one to blame but myself. However, my role model really pushed me beyond any sort of comfort zone. You know, we just never talked about nudity. Nudity was just everywhere. We never talked about sex per se, but I knew she was having sex. I knew multiple men. I knew all this was happening, but I just didn't quite have the understanding, being, you know, a preteen, to kind of figure this out or even have the words to ask the correct questions. And I think that's part of the reason why I'm so excited to, you know, have this podcast and open the dialogue up, because I know firsthand, I grew up not even having the words, not knowing the questions, not knowing what I didn't know. And I've learned so much as a result of my non-monogamous journey, talking to different people. Twitter has been a blessing and a curse. Reddit is terrifying, but you learn so many things and you're exposed to situations that you don't just get from your inner circle going out and drinking at a pub. You just don't understand all these different nuances and, you know, extremely cool sides of sex. So, I was very prudish. I would say probably until my early 20s, when I finally started opening up to my first non-monogamous partner. I think we ended up being together for about 8.5 years. So it was one of those kind of sink or swim relationships where, you know, we met when I was only 17 and we kind of grew up together, and our sexual exploration grew up together as well. But I really hung on to kind of my feelings about sex, kept it very much in the bedroom, unless, of course, I was drinking. And then, oh, I put my foot in my mouth way too many times, and I would, you know, basically boast that I was this sexually free person. And I really don't think I was. As tough as it is to admit, I had been with one person, knew one experience, and, you know, I thought I was all this, I was sexually liberated because I owned VHS porn. Yes, I came from the era of VHS porn, and it was very expensive. It was, you know, $70 to get a VHS in those days. So you would only buy one, you know, a year, and really hold on to it and cherish it. So, you know, that was kind of my background with sex. It wasn't that I've always been a sexually free, liberated, willing to talk about, you know, blowjobs and orgasms and vibrators and masturbation and all these different things. I had to learn that. And I learned that the hard way, first by feeling comfortable enough writing about it, and then finally learning to talk about it and asking those tough questions of my friends. And I'm so sorry to any of my friends who are listening. I know I ask questions that push you over the edge and catch you off guard, and shock value is kind of my thing, but it's only because I dearly love you and that's what I do. And I think my limits are just a little weird there. Okay, so I was a virgin right up until university. I explored sex with my first partner, and I will be fully honest again, as I am and as I will try to be in this podcast as we talk about all these different things with sex and shame and experiences and histories and moving forward. I want to be honest and I want to have open dialogue and acknowledge something that is really fundamental. And I said it right at the beginning, I don't think that you can achieve sex positivity until you include everyone who feels negative about sex in the dialogue and the discussion, because the people who have shame and fear and feel the taboo and stigma, they are the ones that will drive the questions to where they need to be. I mean, I'm shocked is the wrong word, but sometimes I'm surprised when, you know, I'll talk to my female friends and they'll be like, oh yeah, I keep getting, you know, yeast infections after sex or vaginitis and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you do pee every time you have sex, right? And when I see their faces going, I didn't even know that was a thing, I realize, you know, okay, so there's knowledge that just isn't reaching everybody. What I take for granted, because I'm comfortable researching, asking questions, discussing with people who know far more than I do about sex education and anatomy and all those things, you know, I've just picked up on things that I'm not positive everybody knows. I certainly do not remember my Japanese grade 7 sex ed teacher telling us that we had to pee every time we had sex. That was not a conversation. While my sex education was great, learned about all the things we could ask questions in the grade 7 mindset, again, you just don't know what questions to ask because you have no frame of reference. You're asking from like the curiosity sort of feel, not asking from a place of experience, a place of intimacy, a place of, you know, anything beyond what you hear in jokes and see little clips on movies and that sort of thing. Again, back in the VHS days, because I'm getting old. So yes, that is really what I want this podcast to be about. So that's a small glimpse into my sex education history and why I hope that this podcast ends up being a safe and welcoming space for anybody to ask questions, which I encourage you to do on Twitter or communicate to me via this podcast or, of course, on my blog, Breaking Away from Monogamy. Because these are the conversations I think are exciting, interesting, and most importantly, need to take place for everyone, for us to be able to rally and one day say, we are a sex-positive community of people. We are not afraid to ask questions. We are not afraid to show our bodies. We are not afraid to talk about sexual experiences, and we are not afraid to expand the voice and, you know, bring satisfaction to every individual out there on a sexual level. Because at the end of the day, I truly believe that sexual satisfaction is a major contributing factor to overall health and mental well-being, whether it's learning how to get yourself off, doing it with a partner, or for those of us lucky enough to explore group experiences, to be able to have a safe and exciting, you know, threesome, orgy, whatever you want to explore. So yes, I'm going to leave that there. I believe my next episode, we're going to be talking about dick pictures, if I'm brave enough to broach that subject. And I've got some exciting things lined up. We're going to be talking about shame. We're going to be talking about race. We're going to be talking about trans rights. We're going to be talking about just the basics when it comes to sex and education and body image and really anything you have a question about, I want to help tackle. I will absolutely find the experts. I will do the research and the readings and do the things that I am best at, which is exploring this amazing world of sex. And I hope bringing it in a way that is approachable and you feel excited to talk about it and ask questions and learn more or teach me things, because that is the best. Learning and growing and exploring sex together is honestly the funnest part of what I hope this podcast brings. So we'll leave it there. And thank you so much for listening, liking, subscribing, following me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or my blog or wherever you find me. I am Chris. This is the podcast Breaking Away, and I hope you have an absolutely lovely day and keep those questions coming, because I love them. Thank you for listening to Breaking Away with Chris, a podcast for the sex positive community. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever your favorite podcasts are hosted. And as always, for any behind-the-scenes content, you can follow me on Patreon, Twitter, or read my blog at breakingawayfrommonogamy.com. Thanks for listening.